Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Frun Family Shir, hosted by Congregation Shari Tefila. I hope everybody is well and healthy. A little crazy. Whoa. Okay, if you live outside of New York, we were inundated today, and it's still the smell of the smoke. And I was in Atlantic Beach. It's the only time I ran out today. I didn't realize you could actually see the smoke. Whatever, I don't know. I don't have words. And we're hundreds and hundreds of miles away from the fires. It's just unbelievable. Man thinks we're so powerful and we're conquerors. We put people on the moon, medicine, technology. Hashem says, everyone calm down. I'm in charge of the world. I'm in charge of Teva. And the Ratzon Hashem will always be done. I was in touch with my family in Toronto. I said, how are you? When I came home today, I only went out to one shir. I didn't realize the air quality. My house was like nighttime dark. And there was just a yellow glow outside my windows. It was crazy. I don't know the words. So strange. My aunt sent me a picture in Toronto. The sky's blue. I'm like, how are you in Toronto, Canada? Do you have blue sky? Do you know what's going on here? So anyway, it's a reminder of the prowess of the Ribono Shel Olam and the control of Hashem over nature. The sun has been a red ball for a few days. Before I even knew what was going on, my son yesterday morning at 6:40 a.m. when he went out to the bus, he said, Mommy, go look at the sun. I didn't see it till 7:20 when I finished davening. I turned on my phone. I said, I didn't see this. He said, go look. And because it's just shining through the smog and fog, my son said something so up. He said, it looks like a light bulb. It really did. It just looked like this light. It's mind-boggling. It's mamish mind-boggling. So I don't know how there's a blue sky. So there's a blue sky in Montreal, apparently. Someone just wrote. There's a blue sky in Toronto. And New York is under smoke. And I was shocked. Thank you. Okay, let's get into our learning. So we are learning, as always, the Zecher Nishmas Miriam Frun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom, the Shamash of a continued Zechus Aliyah, and the merit of these Divrei Torah that we will share, and a Zechira and Aliyah Latova, and we thank the Frun family very much for their commitment to the Divrei Torah that we share, the Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Alaha HaShalom. So let us get into our learning. We're in the middle of the Kunchus by Avigdor Miller, Torah of Avigdor, the Parshas Vayikra, but it's called Offering Up Your Ego. So we are going through it with added commentary, of course, and added sources. The reason I chose to do this piece with you is because where we're up to in the Sefer is speaking about making Hashem's Ratzon your Ratzon, and you should not have any other Ratzon besides what Hashem wants. That's all that a person should desire in life. Only what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants is what I want, and how we have to learn to identify our Ratzon like different components of a salad. Separate the components of the salad so you could taste every individual vegetable. You should separate your different ratzon for different matters so you could identify your areas of Avodas Hashem and then use those areas and channel yourself to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's where we're holding. So we are going through Avigdor Miller Kunchos, Torah Avigdor and Vayikra. I'm not reading. I only chose certain excerpts that I want to share with you, and that is where we're up to. I always say it's so funny. You should know Esti Klein. Oh, she just left for a second. Yesterday I took out a sefer to look up a pasuk. I took a Medrash Tanchuma. I don't remember what she was preparing. And I opened the Sefer literally. I opened the Sefer literally to exactly where I needed to be. I didn't end up quoting the source in the Shir, but I mamish opened the Sefer like it was an entire Sefer. I just opened it. I didn't have to flip anything. It happens to be I opened it up to where I needed to be. So I always find a lot of Hashgacha Pratis Baruch Hashem. So you'll see where we're up to for tonight's Shir, and you'll see how apropos it is that we're up to this place in this Kuntras Davka tonight. Here we go. Opportunities in human relations, okay? Now, once we understand the subject properly, remember the last thing he said is that we have to be mevater to other people. In order to make Hashem's ratzon our ratzon, we need to be mevater to other people, but not because you want to have good parnasa, not because you want to have shalom bais, not because you want to be a calmer person. Those are all very nice things, but the real reason is because there is a Ribbono Shel Olam who wants me to behave bein adam lechaveru in a certain fashion, because there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who wants me to behave like this. That's the only motivation. Oh, parnasa will be better if I'm nicer to my customers and I'm more patient and I accept returns and the customer's always right. That's very nice. But there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. The last thing we read is that You didn't sin today. You said today all the psukei dezimra. You were thinking about all the great ideals of David HaMelech's words. You said all your blessings, brechos, with kavanah intention. You greeted everyone with sefer panim yafos, a pleasant expression. We have a lot of responsibilities. Ein tzadik b'artzasho lo yechta. There is no righteous person on the earth who does not sin. No one, not even the biggest baal gaiva, can claim to be perfect. Okay, that's the last thing we did. I'm skipping a little in the kuntras, and now I'm going to the next section where I want to go. Now, once we understand this subject properly, says Rav Avigdor Miller, we begin to see human relations, the contact with the people around us. That is our great opportunity to succeed and to create from ourselves a personal honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in both Olam Hazeh, this world, and Olam Haba. So what is a permanent honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The contact that we have, the human relations, the way we relate to those people around us. So right away, and perhaps because my mind's always on the parsha, I was thinking, well, you know, Parshas Baloscha, where do we have interaction? Well, there's much going on in Parshas Baloscha, but when Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about Moshe and Perikah Beis, what is Moshe's reaction? The thing we learned last week is the topic we learned last week is a person has to be mivatar. You have to let it go. Don't take umbrage with everything. You don't have to answer everything. Again, we're not talking about the major things that Chas V'Shalom need professional help. A person has to know how to let it go. And what was Moshe's reaction when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara to Aaron about Moshe? Al Rak Ach B'Moshe Diber Hashem. Hello, Gam Banu Diber Hashem. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem is very angry. Hashem hears. Miriam says, "Did God only speak to Moses? Didn't He also speak to us? We didn't divorce our spouses. We also get nevua." What is Moshe's reaction? Hashem is angry. Hashem says, "Tzu Shloshtechem. The three of you come out." Hashem is angry. Hashem rebukes them. Hashem says, "Moshe is not like any other prophet who ever lived. I don't speak to him in a vision. I don't speak to him in riddles. I don't speak to him in dreams. I speak to him face to face. Why weren't you afraid to speak of my servant Moshe?" Miriam has tzaras, but what is Moshe's reaction? Va'ish Moshe, Perikid Beis Pesugimah, Bamidbar 12:3. Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od, Mikol Adam Mashal Pnei Adama. That's the Torah's commentary about Moshe Rabbeinu. And the man Moses was more humble than any other person who ever walked the face of the earth. He's so humble, in fact, that when Miriam needs a refuah shalema, because there's no one to heal her, because Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, but he's her sister, he's no gay badaver, get it, pun intended, negatsaras, he's no gay badaver, he can't heal her, and he says to Moshe, what should we do? So Moshe davens for her. That's how humble he is. So right away, I'm starting to think, when Avigdor Miller is speaking about a great opportunity to succeed and create for ourselves a permanent honor to Hashem in both this world, Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh, and the next world, Olam Haba, right away my mind goes to Moshe. Our biggest opportunity in life is our dealings with human beings. It's told over in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, which sometimes I quote from. I know SU read it also, by Rabbi M.M. Yashar. It's a very big biography, like over 600 pages. Small words on every page, but it's told over in there. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to tell the story. That a traveling preacher once went to the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon was, besides for being one of the most brilliant minds we've ever had, he would sit and he would study. He had only a handful of students. He disseminated his Torah to his students, and they disseminated the Torah to the masses. He was reclusive. Is that the right word? He sat and he learned by himself. So the preacher came, and the Vilna Gaon says, "Give me Musar." So the preacher thought, "How could I give the Vilna Gaon Musar?" So he said, "No, give me Musar." So he said, "To sit in the attic and be the Vilna Gaon, it's very nice. Go to the marketplace and be the Vilna Gaon. That's godless." It's in the biography of the Chavetz Chaim by M.M. Yosha. Otherwise, I couldn't tell such a story over. In other words, to sit all by yourself and be a tzaddik, it's very nice because no one's annoying you and no one's calling for your attention and no one's demanding of you and no one made an insulting comment and no one did something that you found grated on your nerves. So it's very nice. So you could be a tzaddik when you're all by yourself. It's you, the Rebbe Hashem, be a tzaddik. Go to the marketplace. I'll be the Vilna Gaon. That's tzidkus. Says Rav Avigdor Miller, our biggest opportunity in life is our dealings with human beings. That's our success in this world. If we can get along with people by means of sacrificing our false personality that is always telling us the Anochi, the I, is what matters, that is how we become successful Ovdei Hashem. And this, of course, reminded me of Moshe, because what he was he able to do? He was able to diminish his I. That's the source of anivus. What is the source of absolute humility? That I am not so important. Everyone's important. Everyone's important in Hashem's eyes. Everyone has talents, abilities, and capabilities from God. Everyone is here for a certain tafkid. I know. That's the pocket, Bishvili Nivra Olam. While the other pocket is Anochi Afer Ve'efer. Moshe was able to do that because he negated his I. his anochi, his I, if we can get along with people by means of sacrificing the false personality. The false personality tells us the anochi, the I, is what matters. That's how we become successful over the Hashem. Always in your dealings with your family, says Rav Avigdor Miller, with your wife, spouse, with your neighbors, in your dealings with the business world, when you go into the office, with the community and the base Knesset. So he gives examples of different places where you might be interacting with people, whether it's the home with your family, whether it's the spouse, in your neighbors, in the business world. The person has to go into the office, he has to go to the marketplace, with the community, in the base Knesset. You must always be aware of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, quote, you must always be humble to people. So if I was thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu before, I was for sure thinking about Moshe Rabbeinu two paragraphs in, because what is the key when you're dealing with people? To always be humble. A humble person is constantly bringing offerings, karbanos, proverbial karbanos, or the karban of himself, and is considered as if he brought all of the karbanos, because the offering of humility, not only is it the most important of all, it is always available to bring. That means a person can always negate his I before the Ratzon of Hashem. If we negate our I before the Ratzon of Hashem in our interactions with other people, we'll be successful. So then I decided to look up what the Mefarshim have to say on Ish Moshe, on Nav Ma'od, Mikol Adam Asher al Panei Adam. So I'm going to screen share with you. And my microscope is right next to me. Could you see on my screen? Bamidbar Yerbis? Okay, very good. Hey, so I chose three of the Mefarshim to look through with you. Oh, so what happens? Okay, so that's just Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. And Miriam spoke to Aaron, she initiated, about Moshe over the news of the Kushis that he took, So Rashi's approach is that this is Tzipora, and Moshe had to divorce her because he always had to be available to talk to Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe's unique. He's very unique in the history of Am Yisrael, because most of us have a private life and a public life. And we are able to have both. We're able to have a family life and a public life, whatever your public life is. I don't know, the supermarket, the classroom, the office, whatever it is that you do. That's your public life. And then you also have a private life. Moshe could not have that. Shuvu lechem le'alechem va'ata po amod imadi. Moshe had to stay with the Ribbono Shel Olam because of his intense kedusha from the experience of Matan Torah and as the teacher. Some say that Moshe was actually a leader in the land of Cush. I saw very, very interesting for 40 years. And he took a Cushis woman. Okay, Lamaisa, they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, Harak Achba Moshe Diber Hashem. Hello, Gambanu Diber. You could see it in Pasuk Beis. Vayishma Hashem. So Rav Salvechik speaks about what was the Lashon Hara. The root of the Lashon Hara was they did not appreciate Moshe's uniqueness. Moshe was not like all other prophets, which is in fact what God says. Lo kein avdi Moshe, b'chol beisi namanu. Moshe is not like, it's true, you are a Navi and a Nevuah, a Neviah, but Moshe is not like all other prophets. Lo b'mara, I don't speak to him in a vision, v'lo b'chidos, and not in a riddle, not in a riddle. How do I speak to Moshe? Per al per adabaro. I speak to him mouth to mouth. So no, he is not like every other prophet. So Salvechik has an essay where he speaks about the fact that they did not appreciate the segula quality of Moshe Rabbeinu. And really, that's always the root of Lashon Hara, by the way. If you don't appreciate the segula quality of your fellow Yud, if you don't notice the specialness, the charm, the beauty in a fellow person, then you're going to speak Lashon Hara. That's the root of Lashon Hara. You don't appreciate that that person is precious to their family, to the community, to their classroom, to their friends, to their peers, to Ribbono Shel Olam, to Am Yisrael. That's really always the root of Lashon Hara. When you fail to see the segula in someone else, they did not see that Moshe was unique. Moshe was Mesugal. And the Rabbi says that connects to the Meraglim. What does the first Rashi to Parsha Shlach mean? Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, or Pasuk Beis. What does Rashi say? There were Shaim Halalu Ra'u V'lo Lachu Musar. These wicked scouts saw what happened by Miriam and they didn't take chastisement. What does that mean? What do they see? Just that she spoke Lashon Hara, then they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? No. Rav Salvechik says Miriam failed to appreciate the Mesugal quality, the specialness, the uniqueness, the charm. I don't have a better translation for segula, so that's why I'm saying charm, but it doesn't mean like an amulet, okay? They didn't appreciate the segula quality of Moshe. What did the Meraglim not learn? They didn't appreciate the segula quality of Eretz Yisrael. He's a prophet like any other prophet. It's a land like any other land. That, says the Rav, is what the Meraglim didn't fail to learn. They saw what happened to Miriam. When you do not appreciate the specialness, the uniqueness, the inherent qualities, the midas of Moshe Rabbeinu, they should have learned. What should they have learned? That Eretz Yisrael is not like every other land, just like Moshe is not like every other prophet. Right? So it's not like every other land. It's mesugal. It has a uniqueness, a sweetness to it, a kedusha that you cannot compare to any other land. Just like God speaks to Moshe peh el peh, Hashem sashkach and Eretz Yisrael is not the same as every other land. That's not me saying that. Go look up the Ramban, to Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Achrimos, Perek Yirches, Psukim Chaf Dalet, through Chaf Hei. It's a very lengthy and very important Ramban. Go look it up. Eretz Yisrael is not like every other land. And Hashem's divine intervention over Eretz Yisrael is not like over every other land. It is Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa Tamid Einer Hashem Elokecha B'Mereishis Hashana V'ad Achroshana Devarim Yir Aleph Yir Beis. It's not the same as every other land. They did not appreciate Moshe. The spies should have taken a lesson. They did not appreciate. They sinned. What was the sin? They did not appreciate the Mesuga quality of Eretz Yisrael. Fine. That's Rav Soloveitchik's connection between Miriam's Lashon Hara, the spies' Lashon Hara. That's on Pasuk Beis. And then the Torah tells us Moshe's reaction. What was Moshe's reaction? A normal person would be insulted. A normal person, why are you speaking not nicely about me? What right do you have to mix into my business? Why are you talking about the wife that I took, whether she was actually a Cushy's queen or she was Sipara? What's it your business to talk to each other? No. V'ha'ish Moshe anav mod. And that's exactly what Victor Miller is saying, that we have to get rid of our Anochi. There cannot be any Anochi if we want to make Hashem's will our will. Wherever I am in life is exactly where Hashem wants me to be in life. The people who are around me, the people who speak to me, the people with whom I share my journey in Olam Hazeh, I don't only mean your family. I mean anyone you encounter along the way. All of those people, they're supposed to be there. But as Hashem puts these people in our lives to help us conquer our Anochi, to come closer to God, through Bein Adam Lechaveiro. Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. The man Moses was extremely humble. Mikol Ha'adam, from all men Asher Al-Pnei Adama, over the face of the earth. That's Moshe's reaction. And Moshe actually does not have any reaction. The only reaction he has is that he davens for her. He could say, you got yourself into this mess. It's your problem. You spoke Lashon Hara about me. You could take an akama very easily. I should daven for you. You figure it out. You spoke about me. No. Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od. He's so humble, more than any other man over the face of the earth. So I chose three mefarshim that I'd like to go through with you: the Ramban, the Das Sekeinim, and the Or HaChaim. So we'll start with the Ramban right here. Okay, Vatam Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od. The reason that the Torah here tells you, says the Ramban, the man Moshe was exceedingly humble. I'm here on this side of the screen. You should be able to see it right now. Lahagid, in order to tell you, Ki Hashem Kinelo Ba'avur An Vaso. Hashem had vengeance, so to speak, for Moshe. Moshe was not going to do anything about this by himself. Hashem was mekane for Moshe because of Moshe's humility. Ki hu lo ya'ane al riv la'olam. Gam af im yada. He would never answer a quarrel, even if he knew about it. So here the point is that the Pasuk Beis, does not seem to indicate that Moshe knew. Pasuk Beis says, and Hashem heard. So did Moshe hear? If you take the approach that Moshe didn't hear, then of course he's not going to answer. He doesn't even know what was said. But the Ramban is saying, no, this means to tell you that Hashem was mekane for Moshe. Hashem took vengeance. Hashem exacted retribution. Hashem stood up for Moshe's honor because of Moshe's intense humility. Ki hu lo yana ariv lo olam af im yada. He would not answer a quarrel ever for his personal honor, even if you would have known about it. That's what the Ramban says. Rabbi Avram Mifarish, and now he quotes Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra explains va'amar and says, Ki hu lo haya mevakish gedula al shum adam. Moshe was so humble, he didn't want to be elevated over any other person. He did not want to be the God of Hadar. He didn't want the renown. Hu lo haya mevakish gedula al shum adam. He didn't want to be elevated over any other person. He did not have any gaiva. He didn't pride himself with his exalted position. Listen, he had a very exalted position. It's true what Hashem says. I speak to him face to face. He was in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, times three sets. He came down and his face was beaming. He carried the luchos. He was greater than any other mortal. Nevertheless, he did not have any... he did not take any grandeur or any pride in his level at all. Af ki al achiv, and certainly not over his brother, because remember, by the Shneh, in fact, what does Moshe say? He gives a number of different reasons why he can't go free the Jews, and one of them is Shlach Nabiya Tishlach. The last thing he says is send Aaron. He's been in Egypt, he's been with the people, he's 3 years older than me, give him the kavod. So he certainly didn't want honor over anybody else, certainly not over his brother, the Heim Chotimbo, but they sinned. Shenid barim alav chinam. They sinned against her brother. Vehim chotim lo. I'll just tell you. See, sometimes the words I'm saying are different on the screen. I am quoting from the Mikros Gedoros. I just put this on the screen so you can follow along with me. If there's a difference in what you see on the screen from what I say, that's because I'm quoting from Mechomesh. Okay. The variations are very slight, but if you're wondering why I'm saying a couple of words that you don't see, I'm explaining to you why. I'm quoting a couple of words that you don't see. Okay. Vehem chotimbo, and they sinned against him. Shenid barim alav chinam. They just spoke about him freely. But he was so humble, he doesn't want gedula. He doesn't want to take pride in his maida. Certainly not over his siblings. They sinned, they spoke about him freely. Aval, and then the Ramban continues, Aval b'sifrei, but in the sifrei it teaches, Rabbi Nasan Omer, Rabbi Nasan says, Af b'fanav shel Moshe dibru bo. Oh. So there's an opinion, which the Ramban now quotes from the Sifri, that they did speak in front of Moshe. Af b'fanav shel Moshe dibru bo. Even in front of Moshe they spoke. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, "Vayishma Hashem, Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od." In other words, putting these two pasukim together, "Vayishma Hashem," the end of pasuk base, "Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od," beginning of pasuk gimel, tells you God heard and Moshe also heard. Hashem heard and he's going to become angry. Moshe also heard, i.e., his reaction nevertheless is, and he's very, very humble. So the Sifri actually quotes that Moshe did hear and the Lashon Hara was in front of him as well. Or he overheard it. I don't know if it was it was in front of him. But he happened to overhear. They deliberately wanted him to hear. Vayishma Hashem goes with Vayish Moshe Anav Ma'od. God heard, Moshe also heard. You have to read between the lines. And Moshe was very humble. Elosha Kavash Moshe Al Hadavar. But Moshe conquered Ezo Gibra Kovesh Asyatro, who is a mighty warrior, one who conquers his inclination. But Moshe conquered himself in this matter. In other words, he didn't become angry, he didn't lash out, he didn't go into an argument with them. Yazkir Anvaso, the Torah mentions his humility, Shasaval. First of all, Velo Anam. Saval is from the root word Savlanus. But it also means to bear a burden. Vayetshich Molis Bo, by Reuven, Berkas Yaakov. Saval also means to bear a heavy burden or to be patient. Moshe did hear, but it mentions his humility as an answer to his reaction in hearing. He bore the burden of what they said. He was patient. He was able to forgive. The lo anam he did not answer. V'Hashem kirilo. But Hashem took umbrage for him. Hashem did answer. So this is the Ramban. Now let us go to the Das Kaim. The Das Kaim is really cool. I don't know if you could see. I made notes in my own. Could you see my pink writing in my chumash? Yes or no? It's too hard to see. You can't see. Fine. It's very, very interesting. So look what the Das Kaim is going to say. Where do I want to show you from? V'gam. Okay. The gam b'zahaya anav, shalo haya tovea al beno. Also in this, he was humble. He did not take umbrage for his insult. He did not stand up for the insult against him. Ad shabal kadosh baruch hu, until the ribono shel olam came along, v'usivao. And God took umbrage for Moshe. But Moshe didn't take umbrage for himself. This is very interesting. Many of the Mefarshim, if you look, you'll see that many of the Mefarshim speak about the fact that the word anav is written without a yod. It's written in the pasuk, if you look in the pasuk on the screen, ayin nun vav. It's written what we call chaser. It's not written ayin nun yod vav, anav malay. It's written chaser ayin nun vav. So the Das Kaim says something so interesting. Anav kasiv chaser yod. Anav, the word humble, is written missing a yod. Lomar, to teach you. Shahu anav b'chol eva rav. He was humble in every limb of his body. His entire personality was humble. It overtook who he was, this humility. Ki keshetichtov osio shel anav b'kriyasan. This is very cool. When you write the letters anav out as you say them. So in other words, ayin is ayin yod nun. Nun is nun vav nun. And vav is vav aleph vav, anav. When you write out anav, Spell the ayin yod nun. Spell the nun yod vav nun. Spell the vav aleph vav. So I did it in my chumash, which you said you couldn't see in pink pen. I marked it in the chumash next to the das kenim. So, and I put an exclamation mark. So here we go. Ayin yod nun is 70 plus 10 plus 50. Okay, if you have a pen and paper, do it. If not, you could trust me because I did it when I was preparing for this year. Ayin yud nun is 70 plus 10 plus 50. That equals 130. Nun is 50 and 6 and 50 is 106. And vav is 6, 1 and 6. 1 second. See, okay. That's why I knew it. Right second. Forget what you see on the screen. In the mikros gedolos. Vav is spelled Vav. Take out the Aleph. It's not going to work otherwise. So again, I'm just putting this on there so you can screen share. Listen. Ayin, the word Anav. We're talking about the word Anav. Moshe is humble. The Das Kenim says it's coming to teach you, first of all, that he didn't take any, he didn't fight back. He didn't answer back. He didn't take any umbrage over his insult. God came and took umbrage from Moshe. Fine. Now the Das Kenim points out, like other Mefarshim do, that Anav is spelled Chaser Yod. Anav is spelled Ayin Nun Vav. Fine. The Das Kenim says it's coming to teach you that Moshe was humble in his entire body. Every part of himself was infused with this humility. It is written Chaser Yod. Instead of written Ayin Nun Yod Vav, it's written Ayin Nun Vav. When you write out the letters Ayin Nun and Vav, what does it add up to in Gematria? So Ayin is Ayin Yod Nun. That is 70 and 10 and 50 is 130. Nun is Nun Vav Nun. That's 50 plus 6 plus 50 is 106. Vav, forget what you see on the screen. I'm quoting from my Chumash. Vav is Vav plus Vav, 6 plus 6, which is 12. When you add 130 and 106 and 12, I didn't even need a calculator when I was preparing. It's very easy. It equals 248. You find that it adds up to the 248 limbs in a person's body. So the word anav without the yod, when you spell out ayin nun vav, comes out to the equal to the person's body. And it is a person's body, Moshe, in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is totally infused with humility in every aspect of himself. I really thought it was very beautiful, and I like that very much. Okay, now let's go to the Or HaChaim. So we did the Ramban, we did the Das Kenim Baal Tosfos, and now we are going to do the Or HaChaim. Just getting the next Chumash. Okay, let's look at the Or HaChaim. So the Or HaChaim says as follows, Va'ish Moshe Anav, and the man Moshe was humble. Hodiya Kasuv Zukan, the Torah informs us of Moshe's humility here. Lefi Masha Kasavnu, according to what we have written, Shadibro Bifanov. Aaron and Miriam spoke in front of Moshe. So like the Das Kenim says that, the Das Kenim, right? The Das Kenim is the one who says they spoke before him. 1 second. Oh, I closed it by accident. No, the Ramban, I'm sorry. The Ramban quotes the Sifrei. The Sifrei says they spoke in front of him. Okay, so the Or HaChaim also says, like we wrote above, Lefi Masha Kasav, Nishadibu Bufanov, they actually spoke in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sashen Hara. Nashana Kasuv Ta'am, Shehutrech Hashem La'asos Kol HaAmer B'inyan. The Torah is now giving you a reason of why Hashem needed, so to speak, to do everything that he did. And the rest of the sugya. What did he do? He calls them out of the Moed. He speaks to them. He rebukes them. He gives Miriam tzara'as. He banishes her from the camp for 7 days. The Torah here in this statement, and the man Moshe is more humble than any man to walk the face of the earth, is giving you the reason that Hashem needed to do everything that he did in this pashas. Mitam, the reason being, ki ha'ish Moshe anav ma'od, because the man Moshe was very, very humble. Ulitzad anav. And vaso, and because of this great humility, nimna meheshivla matshuva hamischayeves lavo beinyan. Ooh, because he is so humble, he is prevented. He holds himself back from answering an appropriate answer that should come for the situation. So he says, Maybe the situation demanded an answer. Maybe they need to be rebuked for Kavod Lamalchus. You're not allowed to insult the king. Moshe was the Melech. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. So maybe they needed to actually be rebuked. It's not enough to just be Mevater in this case. You can't let the dignity of Torah be insulted. Moshe is Torah. Torah is Moshe. So, but because he is so humble, Veletzad Anvaso, because of his great humility, Nimna Mehashivam, Hachuva Mechayeva Savo, he held himself back from answering the answer, from speaking back to them that was deserving of coming, Be'inyan, in this matter. Why? They needed to know that Moshe's Nevuah is not like all other Nevi'im, even though the Torah tells us explicitly that Miriam is a Nevi'ah. You don't even need the Drash. It's Sefer Shemos 15:20, Perak Tas Vav Pasuchaf, Atikach Miriam Har Nevi'ah Achos Arnas Atov Biyadah. The Torah tells you before that she's a Nevi'ah. I don't even need the Drash. The Gemara speaks about a Masech HaSota Yerbeis. When did she have her Nevuah? But Lamaisa, Miriam is a Nevi'ah, but they are still not like Moshe Rabbeinu, and they needed to know that. But Moshe would never answer. Why would he never answer? Because the Pasuk tells you that even though he heard, says the Sifrei, which the Ramban quotes and the Or HaChaim quotes, the Pshat does not tell you he heard. But Chazal tell you that he hears. Nevertheless, he would not answer back. He holds himself back from answering because of his great humility. But they have to know that there's a difference between the Nevuah of Moshe and the Nevuah of all other Nevi'im. V'dikdek lomer, the Torah is very medactic, exacting to say, mikala adam asher al panei adama. The Torah was very exacting and careful to say, excuse me, he was more humble than any other person on the face of the earth. Lahachli menias hachuva mimenu b'inyan, to explain the lack of response, menia sachuva, the holding back of the answer, mimenu, from him, be'inyan. The Torah is explaining to you why he held him, why there was no response. Response is held back. Why didn't he say anything? Because he was the most humble man over the face of the earth. Ki adam shebedato hu lamata, chas v'shalom, that's what chas v'av stands for, ki adam shebedato hu lamata, a person who considers himself lower down, matter, underneath. A person who considers himself under others. A person who considers himself lower down. Where am I up to? Chas v'shalom. Heaven forbid, mikol v'chuli al panei adama, that every person on the face of the earth, when you're dealing with a person, I'm going to explain that statement according to the Art School Or HaChaim. When dealing with a person who considers himself less worthy, heaven forbid, than every person on the face of the earth. In other words, Moshe is not really less worthy than any other person on the face of the earth. Chas v'shalom, you could say such a thing, but it's telling you the perspective of Moshe, less worthy than any other person on the face of the earth. Where am I up to? Eich yish'o'ar she'yomer tshuva she'yetzi mimenu shu gadol mikol hanaviim. How is it conceivable that he would utter a response that implies he is greater than all other prophets? So even if he is greater than all other prophets, because of his intense humility, he will not allow himself. He will not even conceive of answering, do you know who I am? It's very nice of you to interview him. I am greater than all other prophets. And that's why the answer, Bamar Me'ashem Ve'ashivim, and that is why God had to come, and God had to answer, because Moshe would never answer for himself because of his intense humility. This is the Ramban, the Das HaKeinim with the Gematria, which I really liked, and the Or HaChaim. So interestingly, according to the Or HaChaim and the Ramban, according to the Sifrei, Moshe did hear, but because of his intense humility, he would never answer back and say, I am greater than anyone else. It would be inconceivable for him to do such a thing. I just want to quote something interesting that, 1 second, if I go find it. There was a massive gathering in New Jersey 3 days ago, the Adir HaTorah event. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I think there were like 25,000, right? There were 25,000 people assembled. It was a celebration of the Bnei Torah and those who hold up our world with their Torah learning. And they brought in a number of Gedolim from Eretz Yisrael to be mechazik at the event and to speak at the event and to mechazik the Bnei Torah. Okay. So, 1 second. So this is Rav Dov Landau, Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva from Slabodka was flown in from Eretz Yisrael for the event. So my brother sent this. Rav Lando did not end up speaking because, having arrived earlier than planned, he was sitting at the event for a while and he grew weak. He was supposed to speak, talking about a very elderly Armeva Asim Shana, Sheikh Ramim Tovim Ve'aruchim from Eretz Yisrael. He was supposed to speak to be Mechazik, the B'nai Torah, but he did not speak because he arrived earlier than planned. He was sitting at the event for a while and he grew weak. Rav Lando traveled 6,000 miles to take part in the event, but ultimately, quote, his mind-boggling anivus carried the day. He got as he wished. No grand entrance. He didn't even speak, not even a drasha. Just the way the Slabodka Rosh Hashiva wants it. One of the greatest men alive, demonstrating humility of a different level. It's very interesting. He spoke, I think, yesterday in Yeshiva Darchei Torah. They brought him to speak. I spoke to my son this afternoon. He said, maybe today or yesterday he spoke. My son says he thinks he spoke for like 40 minutes. A while he spoke. And my son said that Rav David Bender, who's the head of Kol Tirtza Devar in Yeshiva Darchei Torah, David Bender said you can make a bracha when you see him. Shechalak michachmasu l'reyav v'shem Hashem. So my son said he was able to make a bracha. Unbelievable. What a schos when Rav David Bender was walking out of the Beis Medrash. I think the bracha were like lined up. And as he walked by, my son said that he was able to make the bracha v'shem Hashem. Shechalak michachmasu l'reyav. That God apportions from his wisdom to those who fear him. Okay. Furthermore, there was a video attached. One can see a nice, comfortable chair was prepared for Rav Lando when he arrived at the event, but he refused it. You can watch the video. You see it. He was not willing to sit down until a regular plain chair, like every other chair, was brought. The astounded level of the astounding humility of the Rosh Hashiva, leaving everyone in awe. Rav Dov Lando did not address a Direi HaTorah Asif on Sunday. Many wondered why. The background is as follows. It is astounding and inspiring, providing a glimpse into the unfathomable humility of the Slabodka Rosh Hashiva. What happened? Rav Lando told the Adira HaTorah organizers he agrees to attend the event on condition that he does not receive any grand welcome. Although he was supposed to arrive later in the program, so he would not have to wait his turn to speak, Rav Lando ended up arriving earlier, just so he could sneak in along with the other Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim and not have to tolerate his own grand entrance. So he arrived much earlier than planned so that he should not have to be greeted with Yamim Al Yimei Ne'ach Tosif and whatever cover they were going to give him. By the time it came around to speaking, he was too weak, but he dafka went earlier and sat specifically. I saw that you can see the video. He will not sit in the nicer chair that they have. He waited till they brought him a regular chair and he did not end up speaking because he snuck in earlier, so he did not have to tolerate any kavod. One of my brothers posted that. And my other brother wrote in response, I was in Darche last year when he came in. Rav Dov Lando. My brother, other brother wrote in response to what this brother posted. It was a foreword from one of the websites, Sparks of Inspiration, Sparks of a Nation. And my other brother said, I was in Darche last year when he came in and they started the music when he came into the building. He immediately motioned to them to stop. My brother says, I was standing right near him. And my brother says, I said last week, I wanted to go all the way to the event to hear them sing when he came in, because at a big event, he wouldn't be able to stop it. He did not go, but he said one of the main reasons he wanted to go was to see the kavod that would be given to the Slabodka Rosh Hashiva of Dov Lando Shlita, because my brother said at a big event, he wouldn't be able to stop it, because he saw last year in Darche when they started playing the music. Immediately, he said, stop. And they stopped. And my brother said at a big event, he wouldn't be able to stop it. Lamaisha, what happened? He went earlier than planned. He sat in a regular chair. He did not get any special kavod. And by the time he was called upon to speak, he was too weak to speak, but it didn't matter. Va'ish Moshe, anav me'od, mikol adam, asher al pnei ha'adama. And my son said he was able to make a bracha. Rav David Bender said you can make the bracha l'shem Hashem when you see him. But this is a person who wants absolutely no kavod, no honor, no recognition. It's all about kavod Torah. It's only about the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's only about being an Eved Hashem. It's the quintessential. Va'ish Moshe anav me'od mikol ha'adam asher al pnei adama. Just unbelievably incredible. It happened one time that I've told this story over before. It's in the Rav Aaron Leib Steinman biography, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When he came back from America, one of his neighbors said to the Rav Aaron Leib, how was the trip to America? I've told you this before. So Rav Aaron Leib said, it was terrible. They tried to feed me chazer. So the neighbor said, Who tried to feed the Rosh Hashiva, the Rav Chazer, figuring that no one tried to give Rav Aaron Leib Chazer in America. He says, everywhere I went, they tried to give me kavod. I couldn't take it. I was trying to get away. I would not have any of the Chazer. It's very, very interesting that it's been interesting to me, letters in Lashon HaKodesh are also very significant. So when you look at the word Anav, and the Das Kim is so beautiful, if you write out Anav the way you pronounce the letters, it equals 248. I did the math with you. You can write it down in pink pen also, and you'll see it works. So Anav is humble. It's between two other words, and you see a progression. Ani, Anav, Anan. What do I mean? The ender yod, if it becomes a little longer, is a vav. It becomes a little longer, it becomes an ender nod. Anav, ani, means a poor person, not ani, I. Ani means a poor person, ayin, nun, yod. Anav means a humble person, ayin, nun, vav, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, our gedolim, what Rav Avigdor Miller is speaking about, that we all have to try to strive to achieve. And anan is ayin, nun, Nun Sofis, which is also spoken about in this week's parsha. She talks about the seven Ananei HaKavod that surrounded the people, one on each side, east, south, west, and north. The reason I go like that is because east in front, that's four. One on top, one on the bottom, that's six. One in front, says Rashi, it's in this week's Sedra Baloscha, to level the mountains and raise the valleys. Okay, so Anan is cloud. So it's very interesting when you think about these words. We know that nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is an accident. I say it all the time. Nothing, like, for example, the fact that Anav by Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have a yod, it comes to teach you a whole lesson. It's not just stam that Hashem wanted to save ink on the yod. Anav, ayin, nun, vav, equals resh, mem, ches. So it doesn't have a yod to teach you about the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu. So ani means a poor person. Anav means a humble person. Anan means the clouds of glory. The Ananei HaKavod was over Sarah's tent. It was over Rivka's tent. That was the prototype of the Mishkan. And then it's over the Mishkan. Anan, it's this week's Parsha. And Anan was upon them by day when they traveled in Perek Yod. So Matur Rashi says that right before Moshe invites Yisro to go with them, it speaks about the cloud that was above them by day. And Rashi says the seven clouds of divine protection, one in each direction, one on top, one on bottom, and one in front. Okay. When you look at these words, it tells you something. Ani, when a person, with an ayin, when a person recognizes without the Ribbono Shel Olam's assistance, if he's just on his own, relying on his own worth of kochi ve'otzem yadi asali asachai azah, he's an ani. He's like a poor person. Without the Ribbono Shel Olam, we would be absolute paupers. Without Hashem's hashkacha, without his open hand that sustains us, without the shafa bracha in our lives, we would all be aniyim. We are aniyim without the bounty and the graciousness of Hashem. Ani. When a person lives with the attitude that I am a pauper on my own, ani, anav, they will become a humble person. Because the recognition that I am a pauper without God leads a person to humility. What should he be a Baal Gaiva about? Money, it's Hashem's money. Clothing, it's Hashem's clothing. Chachma, it's certainly Hashem's chachma. My son made a bracha, shachalak mechachama, so libeyav. Your home, it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Your job, it's from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're an ani without God. What exactly do you have to be a Baal Gaiva about? Liyah kesev, liyah zav, num Hashem tzvakos. It's the last words in the Mishnah, Perek Vav, Mishnah, Tess, in Pirkei Avos, Pasuk from Chagai, everything is mine. So when you have the attitude that I am an ani, ayin nun yod, I'm like a pauper who knocks on people's door. That's what I am. So Esther Malka says, the Medrash Esther Rabbah, when she goes to Achashverosh, she says, Hashem, I'm like a pauper knocking on the door from door to door, mechalon nechalon, avrachmanos on me. We're all these paupers knocking on Hashem's door. Everything he gives out is with his benevolent graciousness. When I'm an ani with the proper hashkafa, that nothing comes from my might, and everything is from Hashem, it leads me to be an anaf. I will be so humble, because what exactly should I be balgaiva about? Nothing is mine. Everything belongs to Hashem. Everything. Everything in our lives. Man, you will live constantly in the shadow of the Ananei HaKavod. Lashon Kodesh is amazing. Just amazing. Ani, ayin nun, smal yod. Leads one to become an anav, ayin nun, vav. Leads one to recognize that you're always living in the shelter, in the shadow of divine protection. Anan, ayin nun, yod. So we always have to live with the attitude that everything's Ribbono Shel Olam, which leads us to become a humble person, which means we won't take umbrage, we won't get into machlokas, we won't be interested in quarrel and strife, we won't want honor and kavod, we just want to do what Hashem wants. And then we will be zocha to always live into the protection of the clouds of glory that protected Sarah's tent, Rivka's tent, the Ananei HaKavod that were protected Am Yisrael and went before them to chart the course. Our biggest opportunity, says Rav Avigdor Mil, in life is our dealings with human beings. That's our success in this world. If we can get along with people by means of sacrificing our false personality, that's always telling us the Anochi is what matters, that's how we become successful. Ovdei Hashem. Always in your dealings with your family, with your wife, your neighbors, your dealings in the business world, with the community, in the Beis HaKnesses, we must be aware there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when you're aware of that, you will be humble to people. That is a man who's constantly bringing offerings. He's considered as if he brought all of the korbanos, because the offering of humility, he doesn't talk about Moshe, I'm adding it in, because I think obviously it relates so beautifully to this week's Sadron Chotzart. Because Ha'ish Moshe Anav Me'or Mikol Adam Ha'shel Pnei Adama, not only is it the most important of all, but it's always a korban that you're available to bring. Beautiful. So the Torah is very, very beautiful. So Be'ezer Hashem, we'll continue next week. We daven that the shir should be a tremendous chus al yin Hashem from Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak. Allah Hashem. I wish you all a week of besoros tovus and health. And Hashem reminds us who's in charge of Teva. We like to forget. But like Rabbi Zev Lev says, HaTeva equals Elohim in Gematria. HaTeva and Elohim, don't try it with a kuf. Once I tried it with a kuf and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't working. Put in a hey. They both equal 86 because you could be 600 miles from the fire. But Hashem wants to say, you're not so powerful. Be an anav. Recognize that you could be in New York. It's insane. Atlantic Beach, Woodmere. It's unbelievable. I went out. I said, I'm not going out again today. I said, it's dangerous. My son planned to go out with friends because school is finished. I said to him, you cannot go anywhere. You can't breathe. You can't go out. Hashem says, you could be 600 miles away. And in Toronto, it's clear. Could you imagine? But I'm going to show you who's in charge. We have to remember the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of everything. We'll be ani, we'll lead to anivus, we'll lead to the Ananei HaKavod. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuras Tovus and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov. Thank you so much to all.